Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
With my busy life, I use Shipt same-day delivery to keep up. When I need a jar of extra creamy peanut butter delivered, I know my personal shopper Amber will come through. And if it's not on the shelf, she asks them to check the back. Shipt, delight in every delivery. Learn more at Shipt.com.
Hey guys, it's Nick. Before we get going today, I wanted to give you a few discount codes for the products we love and our show sponsors. So don't just turn this one off. If you're listening to this podcast, we at Hardwick Life want to reward you for your loyalty. So take 25% off of your order by using the code HardwickFF25, because after this long, we consider you friends and family. That's HardwickFF25 at Hardwick.life. It's like Hardwick.com, but that one was taken by a shirt company. So Hardwick.life is where you can find it. For 20% off at Bubs Naturals, .com. Use the code HARDWICK20. That's HARDWICK20 at BubsNaturals.com. And for 10% off at Julian Bakery, use the code Nick Hardwick. That's me at JulianBakery.com. Again, Nick Hardwick at JulianBakery.com. Now, if you want to hear what I take daily and get some insight as to what you should take, maybe stay tuned. If not, skip ahead about a minute and we will be into the show. Thank you all. All right. So you want to know what you should buy? I take six of our Hardwick Life products every day. I originally started that company out of kind of selfish needs. I wanted to get access to the absolute highest grade products in the world. Our supplements are pharmaceutical grade, all of them. They've got unique delivery mechanisms. So you aren't just getting expensive urine. You're actually absorbing the products at a higher rate than cheaper store-bought supplements. I take Brain, Joint, Fuel, Phyto, Pump, and Neuro. Now, that may be a little extreme for you, but those are my jams. Now, I've done a lot of damage to my body. I need all of them. The Brain and Joint, they're kind of self-explanatory, right? Fuel is one of the only whey protein powders that I can take that doesn't upset my tummy. And we hear the same thing quite frequently from folks that don't process dairy all that well. That's because it's made from New Zealand grass-fed whey. New Zealand has the highest dairy standards in the world. There's a noticeable difference, and the flavor, it's pretty damn incredible. For a peri-workout drink, which peri-workout, you'll hear that term, it means around your workout, or to add protein midday, I put two scoops of Fuel with Pump, which has 3 grams of creatine per serving, 400 milligrams of ATP, which is the body's energy currency, and 95 milligrams of caffeine to get you all fired up. All of those, they allow you to do more work in the gym, getting better results. More work equals better results. Who would have thought? Seriously, you can work harder and have a lower rate of perceived exertion. And I like to add in Phyto, which has all of the necessary nutrients, vitamins, and minerals, along with this patented formula called TrueBrock, which contains glucoraphanin, which researchers at MIT are calling the fountain of youth. And lastly, I take Neuro about an hour before bed. Dr. Andrew Huberman, a Stanford neuroscientist, host of the Huberman Lab podcast and recent guest with Joe Rogan. I'm sure some of you listen to that guy. He's pretty awesome. Recommended in our third episode ever. We got him before he blew up. Magnesium L-threonate, as it's the only form of magnesium to cross the blood-brain barrier. And it increases levels of brain magnesium, and that leads to better cognition and a more robust memory. That's important. It also has a slight sedative effect to help you get to sleep. All right, I'm not going to bore you with more details. Get over Hardwick Life and use the code HardwickFF25 for 25% off. Now, you guys that have been following me for a while now know that I've used Bubs Naturals since the company's inception. I don't know. I may be their first ever ambassador. I know there's a lot of bigger names now that are promoting Bubs. The company has blown up and is thriving because many folks like me understand how great their product is. I take two scoops of their collagen protein and one scoop of the MCT oil powder daily with my morning coffee. Try it once, you're going to be hooked. It's unbelievably creamy. The collagen is also really a great way to sneak some protein into your kids' lives too. It's unflavored, so you can add it into pancakes, oatmeal, mac and cheese, or juice. And they're not going to notice a thing. Use the code HARDWICK20 for 20% off. Lastly, before we get to the show, I want to tell you about my friends at Julian Bakery. This company, they've really got their act together. I believe most people could use more protein in their lives. It's got a very positive effect on satiety, brain signaling, and maintaining a healthy body weight. I recommend 1 gram of protein per pound of body weight. Please don't listen to Zac Efron's trainer, who on their show falsely ties too much protein to kidney failure and loss of bone density. And certainly don't go to the Game Changers propaganda documentary on Netflix for your science. Neither of these use actual science. There's a lot of kooks out there, folks. We're going to keep fighting the good fight. I love a variety of protein. Obviously, I've told you about our whey protein, Bubs Collagen Protein. And Julian Bakery's specialty, in my opinion, is their egg white protein powder. They come in ridiculous flavors like pumpkin pie, coconut, maple glazed donut. They blend easily. They're a great addition in the middle of the day. Use the code Nick Hardwick for 10% off. That's Nick Hardwick for 10% off. All right, that's enough. Let's get you back to the show. Love y'all. All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Hardwick Life Podcast. I'm Nick Hardwick, your host. Got a great guest today. I was on his podcast recently, the Sweat It Out podcast. His name is Josh Evans. Josh is one of the premier online fitness experts on the mindset behind getting, and probably more importantly, staying in shape. As a coach, Josh has the rare ability to connect with a client through personal experiences, all while delivering complex ideas in a digestible manner so individuals can focus on taking action, leading to lasting positive change in their lives. In over 10 years as a fitness pro, Josh has helped everyone from soccer moms to world-class CEOs move well, feel better, look their best when no one else could help them do that. Josh's work has reached millions of people internationally over the years, shaping the way others think about their health, thrive in the midst of change, and realize their highest potential within themselves so that personal responsibility, productivity, and achievement become paramount. You can find Josh and follow him on all social media platforms at Coach Josh Evans. Thanks for your time, guys. Gonna enjoy this one. Here we go. So Josh, back it up. Tell me where you're from. Give me your story. I'm interested in learning because now you're doing obviously a fitness pro and helping people change and transform and reclaim their lives. And it's super cool. But how'd you get here?
Yeah, so I mean, that's a great question. So I grew up in northern New York, maybe like an hour and a half north of Syracuse. Grew up really unconfident kid. You know, I was really overweight. You know, I mean, compared to obviously the type of weight that you're used to, right? It's nothing, but I was 230, you know, in high school. So it was a big challenge for me. You know, I got bullied a lot as a kid, you know, and luckily was able to like find myself through fitness, right? A lot of the same thing in what you're doing right now and what you're helping a lot of people go through as well. I was able to do for myself with a lot of good mentors, you know, with my high school football coach and the guy that ran our weight room, you know, or what you would consider a weight room, right? Kind of like a janky gym in the basement of my high school.
But, yeah, they weren't as nice as they are now.
Yeah, no, but I was lucky to have him around, you know, and he took me under his wing and really showed me, you know, how to lift weights and, you know, how to invest in myself. And I was able to drop a bunch of weight going into, you know, graduating my senior year. So I was building confidence that way and had a teacher that told me, hey, listen, you could get into physical therapy if you wanted to. You want to stay like in the exercise science realm. I was like, okay, well, let me try that out. I interned with a local PT place in my town and I didn't really like that too much. You know, I mean, as you know, playing sports, like the rehabilitation side of things is not always the most exciting thing to do, right? And to tell that to help people get through injuries, right? It's a pretty difficult thing to handle mentally yourself, let alone
how it's a snail's pace. It's on the other end of the perspective or the spectrum, right? From high performance and helping people get to that next level. It's you're taking people from really, and I find all injuries are like a depressed state. I mean, you can't do what you want to do. Your chemicals are all going to heal that body part. And probably in like a standard PT clinic, you're not working with high performing athletes and trying to get them back to the field. More likely you're working with elderly and people hurt on the job site and that kind of deal, which is not super stimulating, I would imagine.
Having to rub that gel on like, you know, an old person's knee. I was just like, yeah, I'm good. So she told me like, hey, well, why don't you try, you know, my teacher was like, hey, why don't you try strength and conditioning? Like you get to work with athletes who really like sports. So, well, I did my undergrad at Syracuse. I think we talked about that for a little bit on the Sweat It Out podcast. So while I was there, got to, you know, intern under some really great strength coaches. Will Hicks, who, you know, was a two-time strength and conditioning coach of the year, and Hal Luther, who's now, I think he's still with the Buffalo Bills. Now he went over when Doug Marrone went there. I was working at Syracuse under Doug Marrone when he was the head coach there, which is pretty interesting. Very cool. Yeah, so we had a lot of like pro style coaches, Tyrone Wheatley, Rob Moore, a lot of guys. You know, it was quite a fun squad to be on. And in terms of, you know, Syracuse, we were a lot better than we are now. You know, so that was good going to add some actual bowl games and getting to.
What years were you there?
2009 to 2013. So like the last couple of years of the Big East before, you know, that collapsed. Yeah. So that was. You know, I mean, I grew up a big Big East fan, you know, like watching McNabb and Freeney and all those guys play. It was,
There was some good ball play there.
Yeah, back in the day, not so much anymore, but,
you know. Well, hey, at least they have good lacrosse.
Yeah, great lacrosse. I mean, best in the nation, really. You know, when you talk about like the life of a program, anyone who knows anything about lacrosse knows about Syracuse. So it was great. I got to do that. And then I went to FAU for grad school in Florida Atlantic and Boca Raton, pre-Lane Kiffin days, and got to work with the football players there, baseball, really had my hands in on a lot of different sports, which was nice. I was able to kind of branch out and get to experience some other athletes other than football players, right? Still loved working with football, but, you know, it was great to interact with, you know, tennis players and golfers and get to learn more about their personalities and everything. Once I graduated, I wanted to stay in South Florida. So stop pursuing a career in strength and conditioning as, you know, it's a pretty competitive field, right? It's not the easiest to work in. And I didn't really want to go to like, you know, Nebraska at the time and work for some D3 school and work my way up for, you know, 20 grand a year. So I stayed in Miami. Started working for Equinox. Anyone who's listening or watching, it's a big corporate gym all across the world, mainly in the U.S. Started working for them, really excelled pretty quickly and became a top 100 trainer within, top 100 trainer within the first year of working there and was able to, you know, get onto the education team, help and train or coach their trainers in order to, you know, be able to rise up the ranks and learn more about the field. Did that for about 3.5 years before I started my own thing in person and online. And now I'm fully online, been doing that for about 1.5 years now. It's been great.
So back this up a little bit, because I want to get some of the juice out of what you got from these various strength coaches and some of the different experiences that you had. So take me to Syracuse, strength and conditioning with Will Hicks and with Hal Luther. What are some of the nuggets? Well, yeah. What are some of the nuggets that those guys gave you?
I mean, you know, I was pretty young then. So most of it was just, you know, I mean, they didn't really have me doing a ton with like the programming and all that yet. Right. Obviously I was an intern. So a lot of cleaning, wiping things down, but you know, the big things I learned were about, you know, showing up on time, right. The importance of showing up early, most importantly, and being present when you were there. I mean, as you know, 5 a.m. workouts are a hell of a thing to have to go through, let alone just sit there and watch other people go through them. Right. But being present, learning about, you know, how to take care of a weight room, learning how to present yourself and really be a professional in the field of, you know, exercise or fitness or strength and conditioning, right? Was huge just to kind of see how they interacted with the football players, even with the lacrosse players, because they handle both. And it taught me that it was much more, like, coaching was a lot more than just the, you know, I mean, they probably tell you the same thing in football, right? More than just like X's and O's, more than just write you what workouts you write down. It's how you actually get to know your athletes, how you get to know your clients, how you get to know the people that you're working with, and show them that you really care about them on a personal level, more than just like, hey, go bench press or hit that squat and then I'll see you later. You know, right. It was pretty remarkable. And obviously, you know, they're some of the best strength coaches in the country. So it was great to be able to learn from them, learn their processes. But again, I think the biggest things were, you know, how to be a true professional in the industry, right? I really learned a lot from them when it came to that early in my career.
Yeah, I think it's interesting when you bring up the X's and O's, because you can have the most brilliant plan ever, but if you can't execute it, or if you can't get your people that are supposed to be doing it to buy in, it doesn't matter how brilliant it is. If it's too complicated to follow, if you're not a great leader, if you haven't built up rapport, if they don't understand the hows and the whys of what they're doing. And then you brought up getting to go to FAU and then working with different personalities, and describe the difference, if you would, for people between the different sports and the different types of athletes, because I really do think, and football's unique because we all have, and other sports have the same thing where there's different positions within sports, but there is such a wide array of individuals in football, from wide receivers to offensive linemen and everything kind of in between those two. But other sports have unique personalities and are certain, and some people would say like certain chemical dependent or driven, I guess, where you have some adrenaline driven, you have some dopamine driven, you have some folks that are like acetylcholine driven and they're more steady Eddie and they're driven toward that sport. Describe through your experiences some of the different personalities that you gotta see in the different sports.
Right. I think you brought up a great point, right? And it's a great question. I was surprised at how dedicated a lot of these athletes outside of football, right? Everyone really knows about the work ethic of football players and, you know, to a certain extent, basketball players, right? Because it's the two big professional sports, right? And everybody understands the money that's on the line, whether you talk about college football or college basketball or the professional level. But to coach golfers at, you know, 5:30 in the morning, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and to see them all show up, right, and all work hard at 5:30 was like really remarkable for me, you know, just to see how dedicated these other athletes, even though there wasn't necessarily going to be that professional chance for them to, right, to go out and make money, like it, to still see them put in the work ethic and still care about their craft and, you know, focus on the things that didn't necessarily translate directly to their game, right, but were really important for their development as a person and as an athlete overall, right, when it came to being in the weight room and tucking in their shirt and showing up on time and helping their younger teammates, right? I think it really showed me that even though that prospect of being, you know, and it kind of falls into the same thing with like what we're doing now with being like in the social media game, right? It's like, you might not reach that celebrity status. You might not reach that professional status, right? That athlete status, but you can still put in the time. You can still work on your craft. You can still, you know, bring that intention that you need to bring every day to get a little bit better, right? So that you can be proud about at the end of the day and be grateful that, you know, you did everything you could to continually improve, right? And that was something that I really took away from that experience. That, and I realized that, you know, baseball players are some of the biggest savages. I thought football players were savages. Like, baseball players are some of the biggest savages I've ever met. Getting those guys to focus in the weight room was impossible, you know?
What is it?
Screaming. Oh, my God. Like, you want to talk about a bunch of – I mean, FAU had a really great baseball program, too.
Right.
So those guys knew that they had a little bit of leeway. You know, I feel like the better the athlete and the better the team is, they know they can get away a little bit more, but – power cleans and jerking it and slamming it on the ground. You know, it was fun to be around.
Yeah, there's
you know, there's like being in those weight rooms.
Oh, there's nothing better. there is, for me, that was like the whole driving factor for me to even walk onto the Purdue football team was to get in their cool weight room. And now I went up there and the weight room that we used to work out in, which was, gosh, it was like 10,000 square feet or something. They probably got 20 to 25,000 square feet. We shared ours, by the way, with all the other sports. And they've got now like 20 to 25,000 square feet of dedicated football weightlifting. I mean, it is so advanced, high speed. You can measure force. Mm-hmm. You can measure wattage. You can measure bars, all these things. It's like, and it's got real-time footage coming in through the racks. Like, holy shit, this is amazing. Yeah,
it's funny you brought that up because, you know, coming from, I mean, Syracuse has like a mid-tier Division I program. Right. But we still had all the bells and whistles from, you know, having a huge endowment of being a private school and being in the Big East at the time. You know, we had 14,000 square feet, two floors, you know, all the hammer strike machines, you know, logoed racks and the Syracuse orange and blue collar, like everything you could have ever wanted. Going from that to FAU, which, you know, we had just moved into Conference USA when they were part of the Sun Belt at the time, but they were moved into Conference USA when I got there. I walked into the weight room there and there was 9 squat racks, like 3 reverse hypers, a set of dumbbells up to 150, and then some stability balls and bands. And I walk into the weight room, I'm like, okay, great. Like, this is legit. Like, this is where the students work out. He's like, no, this is for the athletes. I'm like, oh, okay, great. So like the Olympic sport, like we had a weight room like that they called Average Joe's, you know, where like all the Olympic sport could work out at Syracuse. I was like, where do like the football players train at? They're like, oh no. Everybody trains out of here. I'm like, how many varsity teams are there? Like 23. I'm like, you're telling me 23 like different sports work out of this 9 squat rack facility? Like, yeah. I'm like, all right, well, I guess I'm gonna learn quite a bit on how to do a lot with a whole lot of little, you know, which is a great opportunity. But I was here we go, we're gonna have to get real creative here, and we certainly did.
Oh, that's you became a group fitness instructor and you didn't even know it. Signed up.
Chaos in that weight room, man. And we did a lot of, you know, I feel very blessed that I fell into a lot of great opportunities, right? I got very lucky early on in my career to learn from a lot of people. And the head strength coach at FAU, his name was at the time was Chuck Lobey. He used to be he was the GA under Cal Dietz. I don't know if you know who Cal is. He's the guy that created triphasic training. So he was there the whole time Cal was creating triphasic, and that's what we ran at FAU. Before he got to FAU, he's with the Tampa Bay Lightning. So, you know, as a head strength coach there. So I got to learn, you know, under Chuck, and that was great. But I mean, man, you want to talk about a lot of moving parts. We were, you know, having people, you know, squat and deadlift and bench press and then go on to what's called French contrast training, right? So like loaded plyometrics, unloaded plyometrics, loaded plyometrics. Like, I mean, it was a madhouse in that weight room of just moving parts. It was like a clock, you know, and everything was off the stopwatch. It was incredible.
Holy crap. You had to work your ass off in there. I would imagine it was like 10, 12 hour days getting all those athletes through there.
Yeah. 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., man. You know, I got thrown right into the fire, right? I learned a lot in 2 years, and you know, learned a lot about programming, learned even more about how to be a professional, how to handle a large group of people, right? Which is great now in case when I lived in Miami, I was doing, you know, group fitness events upwards of 100 people. So, you know, being able to control those after, you know, going into a weight room situation where we'd have, you know, 80 to 100 swimmers or 40 to 50 football players at a time. Like, oh, okay, I can handle this. You know, this is nothing.
No problem.
We'll be able to get through this. Get through this.
No problem.
So it was great, man.
So I want to go back to something that you hit on because I think this is super important. And it's, you mentioned it a little bit in what we're doing and our lives, and you got a kid coming. And this is the one thing that I want to give my boys. And I think you hit on it when you're talking about the golfers coming in at 5:30 in the morning and training their butts off and working on their craft. And they don't have the opportunity. They're not going to be professionals, right? They're not going to the next level, but you can still take pride in your work. You can still show up every day and be present. And the thing I like to use with my kids is, look, we take it seriously, but it's not that serious at the end of the day, because I want them to have the balance between take the pressure off. It's not that serious overall. Like that we get caught up in the day to day and grinding and God, it's serious. And I got to struggle my way through this. But at the end of the day, it ain't that serious. We're all going to die. Right. So, and no matter what you achieve in life, no matter what legacy you leave behind, you're still going to die. So calm the fuck down would be like kind of my message to my kids. I don't tell them in so many words, but to back that out, because I think to be fulfilled, you have to push, you have to strive, you have to try to become an expert or be extremely proficient in an area. Did those kids just show up with that? Or was that something that we talked about in the weight room and that you tried to impart to them, and the coaching staff was like, hey, I know you're not going anywhere? Because I did, there were kids, and I think in our football team, one of my coaches described it as like every organization, it doesn't matter where it's at, it's split into thirds. Like the top third's always going to give you their best because that's all they know. The middle third's right. Going to kind of go where the momentum is. So if you're winning, they're going to be right on board with the top third. And then you got the bottom third who, like, life's hard for them. And they're always going to try to drag people down. They're always going to look for a way to skirt out of work and not show up on time and come up with BS excuses. How do you coach now? How did you coach then to that bottom third to try to give them the systems, the tools, the habits or whatever to put them up into at least the middle category, if not get them up into the top?
Well, I think number one, it's all about perspective, right? You kind of touched on that when you talk about how finite the amount of time we have on this planet is, right? It's like, you know, when I was talking to athletes, I'm like, listen, you know, if you're a freshman, you got 3.5 more years, probably, right? If you're a sophomore, you really got 2.5 more years. If you're a senior, like, this is it, man. Like, you know, after this, it's over with, right? It's done. Like, you can go
to the real world starts
if you want, but you're going to go have to find a job, you know, and with that comes the same type of pressure, right? In a different force, but the same type of pressure that you're feeling now, right? With your time management, with, you know, what you want to put your time into, how much focus you want to do, the intent behind that focus, right? So it was like, you committed to this, right? You wanted to be a part of this, be a part of it, right? Absorb all of it, you know, absorb the 5:30 a.m. workouts, you know. Now with my clients, I'm like, you bought into my program, right? You wanted to, you know, join, you wanted to lose weight, you wanted to get stronger, you wanted to feel better, get more mobile, right? Dive headfirst into it, right? Yeah, it's kind of scary. Yeah, there's a lot of what ifs. There's a lot of what ifs in every aspect of it, you know? That what if, that risk that you're taking, right, shouldn't stop you from continuing down that path, right? All the good things that happens in anybody's life, right? We talked about it on the podcast with you, right? Came because you took big risks, right? Because you decided to, even though that risk was there, you decided to continue down the path regardless, right? And with hard work, with positive intention, right? Knowing that you're going to struggle, knowing that there are going to be hardships, knowing that every day isn't going to be your best day, but you're going to put forth your best effort regardless of those, you know, poor performances or, you know, shortcomings, you'll be able to continue to refine your process. You'll be able to refine your abilities so that each day can be a little better, right? And as long as you're getting a little better every day, over the course of the year, over the, you know, for the athletes, over the course of the semester, you're going to get a lot better. You know, you're going to get a whole lot better, you know? And again, it's not going to be linear, but it shouldn't be linear, because if it was linear, everybody would want to do it. And you know, then you wouldn't have that top third, right? You want to get to the top third, you got to push through, you know, that ceiling that you think exists, but doesn't really. It's all between your ears. Once you push through that, you know, something clicks in your head and you know, you can really make that shift and plow through what you need to do.
I like that. And I like the concept that you gave to the golfers. Like, look, you wanted to be a part of this, be a part of this, be all a part of this, absorb it, take it all in. And yeah, it's hard. Everything's hard, right? At some point, everything is hard until it's not hard anymore. change is hard. Getting your body to do something that it hasn't done in a long time. It's hard to learn new processes, new habits, new skills that help take us in the direction of that goal. But everything's going to be that way. And then in the health world, right, everybody wants to get healthy to feel better now. But I think the reason to really get healthy is to feel better down the road. So we don't have to do this when we're not capable of doing this, when we don't have the stamina or the energy, or our joints don't feel good enough to be able to do this. Like, you got to put yourself in a great position now and learn these skills and habits and behaviors on a daily basis. That way, when we're 50, 60, 70, and it hurts like hell, your habits just carry you through those mornings and get you to the good stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's never going to get easy, right? Like the earlier you can start the stuff, the better, right? Not only because you don't lose all that time, you know, like, so when I talk to people who are thinking about joining my program, they're like, well, you know, maybe I'll wait like 3 to 6 months. I'm like, well, what's going to change in those 3 to 6 months if you wait? Like, what are you going to really be able to do on your own that you haven't already accomplished before, right? Like, are you going to go through this big lifestyle change, or are you just going to continue to do the things you're going to continue to do and be in the same exact spot, but realistically worse off because now you just wasted 3 to 6 months? Or are you going to just start it now, jump head first into it, right? Take that risk and understand that I'm there for you, right? I'm there to make sure that you don't make the same mistakes that I made growing up. That's like a heavier set kid and, you know, having to battle, you know, the eating habits that I, you know, had to battle as a coming from a low income family and, you know, not cooking food at home, having to learn to cook food on my own. Like, all these things are difficult, right? But it's, again, to your point, it's not as difficult as having a $30,000 hospital bill because you had a heart attack, you know?
Right.
And then having to overcome that. Or it's not as difficult as gaining another 20 pounds and then having 40 pounds to lose instead of 20 pounds. You know, just start now. Start now and be intentional with it. And I promise you, you know, 3 months from now, 6 months from now, a year from now, you're going to be in a completely different place.
Maybe that should be their answer to you. What's going to change in 6 months? And they should say, well, I'm really looking for a more dramatic before and after. So
I'm all for that. Hey, listen, as long as you're going to work with me, the better the dramatic, the more people that'll come and work with me. No, I'm just kidding. But, you know, it's true, though. Like, it always blows my own mind when, and I think a lot of it comes down to, you know, people don't feel confident in themselves, right? Like, you have a lot of great testimonials. I have a lot of great testimonials. Like, the things we do work for a wide array of people. But at the end of the day, I feel like a lot of people who don't take that leap, don't take that risk, right, feel like they're not worthy of that change. They're not capable of that change, right? And if we can help people make that shift to be like, listen, you are capable of these things. You can wake up early and get your workout in. You can cook food at home. It doesn't have to be expensive for you, right? We will find a way to make these things work for your lifestyle and fit your schedule, but you have to be ready to make that change, right? You have to believe in yourself first and foremost so that we can overcome these obstacles that are 1,000% going to come your way.
I like this. It's never going to get easier. It's true. It's not going to get easier. The older you get, the more ingrained your habits get, the harder they become to break. It's like a kid learning a language early on or learning a new skill early on. They don't even have to think to learn it. But the older you get, the longer time goes, the more ingrained you are in your habits, the more you drive by Taco Bell on the way home from work and stop because it's like Pavlov's dog. It just, the bell rings like, ding, okay, I'll go get my 5-pack and a burrito supreme on the way home. It's like, no. We have, the earlier, the better. It never gets easier. I love those concepts. And you're right. The pushback, I don't think ever comes from you, the coach, right? It's not that they don't trust you. They see the results that other people are getting. It really comes down to the individual's lack of trust in themselves and their own failures that they've taken on before, or their own times that they've given up on a goal that they've had. And so really the obstacle is themselves or themselves. Mm-hmm. And that's a really hard obstacle to overcome because, I mean, let's face it, you can't motivate somebody to wake up and do what they need to do every single day of the week. It's the more clients you have, the more attention you've got to spread around. If you can't wake up with inspiration, motivation, trying to attack your goals. So let me ask you that. How do you, I find one of the challenges just keeping people with their eyes on the prize. Like, oh yeah, shit, I forgot that I was supposed to be trying to get healthy today. It's like, Jesus, you just signed up a week ago. Like, how do we forget already?
Yeah. I mean, listen, I've had some clients like one weekend, they're like, oh, I missed two out of the four workouts. I'm like, how did you, you just signed up on Friday. It's now Wednesday. Like, so you missed Monday and Tuesday. Like, okay, let's get realigned. Like, why did you do this in the first place? Right? Because you wanted to make a dramatic change in your life. You wanted to start investing in your own health, right? And pouring more into yourself so that the times where you need to give to other people, you can actually give back to the way you want to, right? And again, a lot of it does come down to how people feel about themselves and how confident they are in their actions, right? I think a lot of the times when we aren't taking care of ourselves, we, as a father, as a husband, right? Like, you're constantly giving to other people. If you don't take that time for yourself, and then you're give for, you know, a week, a month, a year without doing something for yourself, then you start to really regret and resent giving to your kids, giving to your wife, giving to your family, giving to your community. Because you're like, well, I have to do all this stuff while I can't do the things I need to do for myself. It's like, no, you're choosing not to do the things for yourself, right? And that's lead in that regret and not investing in yourself is now leading to resentment and giving to other people, right? Just decide that you're going to take care of yourself, right? Make that choice for yourself. And then I promise you that shift, that click will happen in your head and you'll be like, oh, I get to do these things for other people. I now seek out those opportunities because I know I can handle it. I can take care of myself. I can take care of my kids. I can help my wife overcome these things or my girlfriend, right? Or I can help other people in my community, you know, make these changes themselves because I've learned I can do it internally, you know?
Yeah, that's brilliant. I think that's brilliant. And I do find that a lot of the clients that I have are really empathetic people and they put everybody else before themselves, even in their own life. And what I try to stress is those people that you're taking care of, they really want you to take care of yourself and they need you to take care of yourself so you can give more and you are more present when you're there giving more. And it's a really unique, and I admire the personality type that comes to me because I wish I felt as much as they feel, because I do feel like there's a lot of empathy that comes from those folks. And it's a really beautiful thing, but it is hard to get them to understand that you have to carve out time for yourself. And really, I think that's one of the most fundamental things that you can do for yourself is prioritize your sleep. That's taking care of yourself. That's self-care. Going on a walk and practicing mindfulness. That's just, it's really simple, but it is self-care, and it's carving out little pockets of safety for yourself, little moments in time that you can just breathe and worry about yourself, and then you can give more. Because if not, you're like that Shel Silverstein book, The Giving Tree, where you're just left as a stump and you have nothing left to give and you've worn yourself down, and that's a bad place to be.
So let me ask you, how do they receive that, right? You know, because obviously you're helping people make dramatic, I mean, some serious changes with their weight and in their lifestyle, man. You know, you're, a lot of the people you work with are pretty heavy set, you know, and whether it's, you know, their own shortcomings or the lifestyle that they grew up in, right? And it's great to see that they're making that change. But when you have to have that conversation with them, you know, which I'm sure happens pretty quickly and early on in the program, right? How do they receive that, and what type of information do they give back to you on, you know, what's holding them back from actually doing that for themselves?
Yeah, I think one of the things when it comes to that for me is they're looking almost for permission to take care of themselves. And a big part of it too is to get the team on board. So whatever team they have, their family, their wife, their husband, their kids, to really go and ask for permission. Hey, I'm trying to do this. Will you support me through this process? Because, you know, change is hard, not only for the individual, change is hard for the people around them too. Even for my wife, when I got done playing ball, I was 295 pounds and she liked me as a big man. And I think part of it was because relatively, one, she felt safe. She liked the strength. She liked, you know, when we walked into a room, people noticed us because I was so big. And then I think she liked the relative size difference, right? So she felt daintier next to a large man. And then when I started losing weight, it was like, I don't know. And she was really cool. And she's always been really understanding. But at some point it got too small. And she's like, all right, Nick, this is too much. You're down to 202 pounds. I'm not really into this. Can you put some weight back on? But, and that's like, I did get on the extreme side and I didn't look great. But I know there's others that get sabotaged by their spouse who doesn't really want them to change, or their kids who are like, come on, dad, let's do what we used to do, instead of supporting the goal and the cause. And a lot of it just comes down to communication, going, hey, I have to do a better job of taking care of myself. And that's, I think, the hardest part, is to be really honest with the ones you love and the ones that you've been giving to for so long, to go, hey, I've got to be a little bit more selfish right now. And I need to take care of me so I can be around to watch you. So the selfishness is going to come back to you. And it's a funny thing to say self-care is selfish, when in reality, everybody needs to be doing certain things throughout a day to just make sure we're in a good place. And if not, I mean, I think so many of the issues come down to like time management, dealing with stress properly, yes, anxiety. And we're living in this world that is like chaotically fast and just driven. And then nobody ever carves out time for themselves to kind of old school, slow down, sit on the back porch and be bored. Like that's self-care, you know, and we've forgotten all about that.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, that's part of the reason we moved to Puerto Rico, right? Was to get, I mean, we lived on South Beach for 8 years. You want to talk about craziness, like
warp speed.
Anything you want to do at any point in any day, like you can go out and do it. And we were like, I've just had enough of this, right? We want to be able to just, I mean, now it's like, all we hear, they have like these little frogs called Cokies, and all we do is hear those at night. We're like, oh my God, it feels so good just to be able to listen to those and like the rain and not have to listen to cars or any of that stuff. But, you know, back to your point, a lot of it, you're talking about carving out time. I like to say, you know, setting boundaries, right? Like, and being firm to those boundaries, you know, like, listen, I'm going to wake up at 5 a.m. I'm going to go, you know, we live pretty extreme lifestyles. My girlfriend and I mean, we're up at 4 a.m. We go to bed at 8:30 normally, and people are, you know, my clients are texting me, you know, I'm getting DMs, my co-host is trying to call me. I'm like, listen, you know, my phone is on bedtime mode. Like, there's 0% chance after 8:30 I'm picking up the phone, you know. Awesome. I'm sticking to that boundary, because I know 4 a.m., 4:30 is going to, you know, roll around real soon. And if I'm groggy, I'm not going to be able to do the things I need to do before I start, you know, take it on my clients or start doing podcasts, you know, and that time from, you know, 4:30 to 5:30 is the time where, you know, she goes for her run and I'm sitting down having a cup of coffee and just like relaxing. 5:30 to 6:30, I work out. And then, you know, we walk the dogs, and then we start our day together for a couple hours before, you know, I get into my workday. And without that time, right, without being firm to those boundaries, you know, we would just, like you were saying, we would go so fast, and then bedtime would come around and we would not have any time for each other, right? Or I wouldn't have any time for myself. She wouldn't have the time to go out her runs and to do what she wanted to do, you know? And I think if more people understood, and I really like the saying, you know, discipline equals freedom, you know, set a schedule, be firm to that schedule, be disciplined in that schedule, and you actually become more free, because not only do you know what you're supposed to be doing and when you're supposed to be doing it, which takes away that thought process, right? Of like, oh, I feel like I'm forgetting some things, or, you know, I don't know what I should be doing right now. No, look at my calendar. Okay, I know what I'm doing. Hit it and run, right? Be intentional with that time. Be disciplined. Like, if I have an hour to do the podcast with you, for this hour, I'm solely focused on doing the podcast with you, right? If I'm talking to my client for half an hour in a coaching call, I'm not looking at my phone at the DMs I'm getting or the text message. I'm focused on helping my client for that 30 minutes, you know, realize their potential, you know. And I think if you can do that, then you don't have to waste a lot of time, right? Which actually frees up a lot more of your time to be able to enjoy the things like you were saying, sit on the back porch and just listen to the peace and quiet instead of having to be like, well, I need to text this person because I forgot to do it. Or, you know, I got to answer this email. Like, no, you set aside time, or you made time for half an hour in the morning or in the middle of your day to answer all your emails. It's done. You know, you're done with it. You move on with your day. You know, and like you said, if you can manage your time better and you can set these boundaries, you know, you'll be able to accomplish a lot more, right? And I think a big part, and I know I'm kind of rambling on here, but no, I know a big part of it, you know, people are afraid to set these boundaries because they think that people won't respect their boundaries. It's like, well, if you're firm on them, people will respect them. And then they'll actually have more respect for you, right? Because you're not allowing them to steamroll you all day long, you know? And I think that, you know, if you can, like you said, manage your time better, set these boundaries and hold firm to them, like, it's a game changer for a lot of people.
That is awesome. Yeah. Now I'm all fired up. I have been doing better with my schedule and have been better with boundaries, because I know I look rough and tumble on the outside, but I'm like really soft. I think that's why I have all the tattoos, is because I didn't want everybody in the NFL. Yeah. I didn't want everybody to know that I was actually a lover. And it was like, no, look at this scary guy. It's like, I'm not scary.
I feel like most linemen are, though, man. You know, like all my favorite people in football are linemen, and they're the biggest teddy bears I've ever met. You know, they're awesome people.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Tell me about your clients now. What kind of program are you giving them? And is it, you just go from there, and I want to see who's coming to you, who's seeking out Josh Evans.
Yeah, I appreciate the platform, man. Thank you for the opportunity. So I have this new program I released about a month and a half ago called Active Made Easy. Really for those high achievers, those people who are real short on time, who, you know, kind of like yourself, are running businesses or are, you know, high level CEOs or executives with families, with a spouse. Most of my clients are male, although I do have a couple of females who, you know, are looking to simplify the actions that you really need to take in your day-to-day life in order to facilitate that transformation at the beginning of your fitness journey, right? For a lot of people, and this is what I really feel blessed to have been able to learn over 12 years in the industry, right? And having learned and from so many different types of people, is that we tend to convolute the things. We tend to make it more difficult for ourselves than it really needs to be, you know? And I was talking to one of my clients the other day, and they're like, well, I think I need to, you know, be focusing on supplements, and I need to be focusing on, you know, like what we're exactly doing in the work. I'm like, no, you're missing the point. The big rocks are not, you know, whether you're doing burpees and power cleans back to back, you know, which we don't do in the program anyway. We focus more on body weight and kettlebell, but it's about, like you were saying, did you get to sleep on time? Are you consistent with your sleep schedule? Are you eating, you know, the appropriate amount of food that you need to be eating, right? I'm not big on tracking calories. I focus more on portion control. Like, are you controlling the amount of portions, or are you mindlessly just shoving food in your face, right? Are you working out at the time you said you were going to work out 3 to 4 days a week? Or are you allowing your day to get ahead of yourself? And again, not setting those boundaries and not putting yourself in front of, you know, your work schedule and in front of what other people expect of you. Are you meditating, right? Are you taking time for your mental health? Are you taking time for mobility? And are you taking time to decompress at the end of the day? You know, so all of those things are really what we focus on. I know it sounds like a lot, but the approach that I take with people allows it to fit into their schedule in a way where, like, okay, we set your sleep routine, right? What are the things you're going to do at nighttime each and every time? 3 to 4 things, right? You're going to stick to those 3 to 4 things. We'll refine them over time. What are the 3 to 5 things that you're going to do each and every morning, right? Big glass of water. I have a morning mobility routine I get to give them for 10 minutes so that they can, you know, get their body moving with some low intensity, high quality, you know, basically joint range of motion stuff. What time are you going to work out at? 40 to 45 minute workout. You don't really need more than that, especially when you're first starting out, you know,
right?
Everyone tries to be you, right? They try to be the professional athlete that trains for 2 hours a day. You don't need that. You don't need
that. You don't need that.
40 to 45 minutes tops.
Mm-hmm.
40 to 45 minutes tops. Get in. Do what you need to do. Stay off your phone. Don't talk to other people. Get the work in. You know, focus on the quality of your form and get out. You know, schedule your work day, right? So that you're able, like, put it in your phone and stick to that, right? That's the time that you can pick up your phone so that you can, you know, focus on the things you need to do through your work day. So when you're out of work, you can go home. You do what I call a self-care routine, right? Like a 10-minute decompress, stretching, breathing video that I give my clients. Decompress from the workday, right? Because your workout and your workday are stresses. You know, I don't want you to feel stressed at home when you're being with your family. So take the time, do it with your kids, do it with your wife, you know, decompress, bring yourself back into the parasympathetic state, that more rest or digest portion of our nervous system, right? So that you can relax and be intentional with your kids, be intentional with your partner, you know, enjoy being home instead of worrying about what you have to do the next day, you know? So we go through all that, right? Again, it really comes down to like mastering your schedule, mastering your routines, setting your intentions, and then sticking to what you say you're going to do. You know, we focus on all that stuff in the Active Made Easy program so that, you know, people can understand and learn that it's a lot easier than they think it is to get back to where they want to be.
And I love how you described it as the big stones versus the little stones. Well, what supplement should I be on? What type of program am I going to be on? What are my macronutrients? What are the ratios like? Who gives a shit? It really doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Yeah. Rest well.
Should I take vegan protein, pea protein, or whey protein? Like, I don't care. Can you eat protein? Like, that's what matters to me. Like, eat more protein, drink more water, work out, you know, get some
sleep. It. That's it. Mm. And it's, and I love that you say that, because you can get into these, and I think the world that we're in now, everyone wants to be so nuanced and so like niched that we go down these strange rabbit holes. And yeah, and not even for, like, honestly, the professional athlete, because there were 53 of us in a locker room and we all did the same damn program. And that was from linemen to defensive backs and wide receivers and kickers. It didn't freaking matter. It's like, we all ran the same program. And so when people come and they're like, well, I want it tailored to me, I'm like, okay, yeah, it's tailored right to you. You know, it's like, what do you mean you want it tailored to you? It's like, where are you on this fitness journey? Because when we're talking about what they see and the margins that they're going for, because they've got, I mean, you don't have to get marginal until you get to Olympic weightlifting status, or
I know. It's
you're
crazy.
You're going for a damn gold medal. I wasn't even going for a gold medal. I just needed to have a requisite mass and strength that could allow me to do the other parts of the job. So it's like, well, what are you trying to achieve? Are you going for Mr. Olympia or Mrs. Olympia? Or do you want general health? Because that's it. And I love the word you use. We're getting so convoluted. We've lost context for what you, the normal person or the CEO that wants health and wants to look better, feel better, perform better. It's like, it doesn't have to be incredibly dialed. It just has to be enough to get you moving. And the foundational stuff that you talk about, the movement, the drinking water in the morning, getting a little movement exercise, a little meditation, setting time for your workout, 40 minutes, 45, bang it out, get the hell out of there. Don't loiter. Don't let it last 2 hours. And then when you come home, I love the thought of the decompression as you're re-entering into out of the workspace, get back into that parasympathetic state. And so we can relax and enjoy our life. It's like, we don't have to be as running as hot as we were at work for those 8 to 12 hours or whatever, and then come home and do the same thing until 8 PM. It's just completely unnecessary.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you the type of feedback I've gotten from the people I've been working with, you know, since I launched the program on that one specific 10 minutes, you know, that they give themselves at the end of the day. And the fact that, you know, again, I work with a lot of guys that have families, and the fact that their kids are now incorporating it into their, like, they love spending time with dad or with mom, you know, on the ground doing all that stuff. They like, you know, I was always like, let them make fun of you, let them do a little bit of it, you know. It's, as you know, right, your boys are probably parroting everything that you and your wife are doing, right? So you're able to teach them these healthy habits. And, you know, I want to kind of bring back that point of like what you were saying about, you know, why do people join your program? Why do they join my program in the first place, right? Is it, I feel like as people go through this workout, this fitness journey, they lose sight of why they started something in the first place. Did you begin this journey so that you could become the best exerciser known to man, you know? Or did you do it so that you could feel better, move better, be more confident in yourself, be healthier, be around longer, right? And show the other people in your life that it's possible to do the things that you set out to accomplish, right? So that, you know, if you want to go, my big thing is, I don't want you to become the best workout person. Leave that to me, right? That's what I've been doing for years. Like I'll perfect the movement, right? What I want you to do is be able to utilize these workouts or utilize my programs in order to then impact the things that you love to do in life. If you like to kayak, I want you to be able to kayak for longer, right? If you like to, you know, play catch with your sons, I want you to be able to play catch for 10 hours if you want to, without feeling like, oh God, my elbow, yeah. Like, I don't think I'm going to be able to do. And then I want you to be able to do it tomorrow and the next day and the next day. Like, that's the purpose of these programs. Not so that you can, you know, become the best person at deadlift, right? Unless you want to be a professional
powerlifter. Unless that's your goal. Okay, cool. Yeah.
Right. But I highly doubt that that's why you joined this program, right? This program wasn't made for that. You know, I'm not really that, you know, I used to powerlift back in the day, but I'm not doing that anymore. So you're not coming to me for that, right? You're coming to me so that you can make an impact in your daily life, right? Mm-hmm. Focus on those things, right? Instead of like, well, you know, I feel like we're doing a lot of lunges in the program. Like, yeah, okay, that's fine. You know, you're walking. So lunges are good for you. Like, you know, we're going to do a lot of lunges. Expect a lot of single leg stuff. Like, expect a lot of lower body. Well, like, can we do, you know, I want to work my chest more. Like, well, is your chest going to help you lose more weight? I don't necessarily think that that's the answer, right? Like we'll do right. some push-ups, we'll do some bench press, but you know, let's focus on these big habits, like you were saying, like we were talking about the big rocks, mm-hmm. right, that really matter in your life, instead of like, well, we're doing four sets, do you think we can do five sets? Like, no. Like, hey, it's not that important.
If you want to do five, go ahead,
but you know, I don't really think we need to be worrying about that. If you want to do it, go for it. But did you drink water? No, I didn't drink. Okay, focus on drinking water. You know, did you go to bed on time? No, focus on, put your phone down, go to bed on time.
Yeah. How much alcohol are you drinking, right? It's like people get so caught up. They get so caught up in so many things. And it's like, oh, I'm gluten intolerant. It's like got all these issues, dairy intolerant, whatever it is. I don't know what, everyone's got something. But then it's like, well, how much alcohol do you drink on the weekend? You know, how much, right. You know, it's like, let's move the big things out of the way so the other things we can take care of pretty easily. So I love it. Josh, this has been super engaging, man. I've really enjoyed this.
I appreciate it, man. I love talking to you. I love talking to you. It's been great.
Yeah. Well, we'll do it again.
Yeah, for sure, man. Anytime, you know, we'll have you back on the podcast. Anytime you want me to come on or you want to do an Instagram live or something, I'd be down to do that as well.
Perfect. Thank you. Where can people find you and learn more about Active and Easy? I love the name too. Yeah.
Hey, man, that's what it's all about, right? Making sure that it's easy for people to get more active in life, right? That's really what I want it to be about. If you want to reach out to me, you know, I'll answer any and all DMs or comments or anything that you have. You can find me on all social platforms, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, at Coach Josh Evans. Pretty easy to find me.
Straightforward. At Coach Josh Evans. Josh, thank you. That was super, super fun talking to you. I love picking your brain.
Thanks, Nick. Yeah, appreciate it. Anytime.
All right, buddy. And keep doing great things. Changing the world.
Yeah, thank you. You too, man. Looking forward to seeing what we both have in store for the future.
Yeah, exactly right. Hey, and good luck with the baby.
Thank you, man. Thank you. I might be picking your brain on that too, since you got two boys. Okay. I think I got one on the way. Let's fingers crossed.
Oh, super cool. Super cool. Well, we'll send good blessings for baby's health, mom's health, and of course your health and wisdom that you're going to provide. So thank you, brother.
All right. Appreciate it, Nick. Talk to you later.
Bye, Josh.
Bye.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's Mix and Match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Feel like you got enough to do already? I do. That's why I use Shipt same-day delivery to keep up with my busy life. They know the snacks I like down to the extra creamy in my peanut butter. I can get deliveries at home, on set, or even when I'm away on vacay. And my personal shopper, Amber, she's got my back. As in, she asks them to check the back if it's not on the shelf. Shipt. Delight in every delivery. Learn more at Shipt.com/hi.